I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is December 28th, 2013. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today, an article written by Denver pastor Lauren Sandford entitled, Another School Shooting, America Reaps What It Has Sown. He begins, I cannot remain silent. Call me legalistic for calling out sin. Lauren, you seem confused. We don't have any laws against sin, so no one can call you out for being legalistic. He wrote, call me harsh for pointing out the destruction that comes from it, but I'm not proclaiming God's active judgment or pronouncing any kind of condemnation. I'm talking about the inevitable reaping of what we have sown as a culture, and I grieve for the resulting tragedies I see unfolding in so many lives every day. Lauren, we call that empathy, and that's a good thing. I too grieve when I witness tragedies in other people's lives. So the real question is, what do you plan to do about it? If prayer worked, then we wouldn't be in this predicament to begin with, would we? So obviously, that hasn't worked. Lauren wrote, once more we have seen a school shooting, and once more it has happened in the Denver Metro, my city, this time at Arapahoe High School, not far from Columbine High School, where another and more devastating shooting happened in 1999. Lauren, the NRA's solution is to arm everyone, including teachers. What do you think? Sound like a good plan? He said, it wasn't long ago that a shooter opened up in a theater in my city and destroyed dozens of lives. Lauren, God does seem to have it out for you people, doesn't he? What did you guys do? Forget to sacrifice a goat? He said, my heart is broken, my chest aches, and my eyes are wet with tears for the trauma these students have experienced, for the injured ones, and for the shooter himself, so emotionally disturbed and in so much pain that he not only had to harm others, but took his own life as well. This is destiny and promise stolen and destroyed by the enemy of our soul. Lauren, yet conservatives do everything in their power to prevent our nation from taking steps to limit these horrible events. And these conservatives also happen to be the most pious Americans. He wrote, why? These things never happened a generation ago when, whether or not we really lived it, our nation at least acknowledged God and our families for the most part remained whole. Lauren, you are either a very dishonest little ghost worshiper or a complete moron. These things not only happened a generation ago, crime rates were far higher a generation ago. So if we are acknowledging God less now, as you claim, and as statistics prove, then that might explain why violence has decreased so much. This explanation is supported by data which show that the most religious countries worldwide are also the most violent, America being a prime example. Lauren, you were also wrong about families remaining whole a generation ago. Here's a link to divorce rates in the United States. And in the Word document associated with this podcast, I have provided him a link to divorce in the United States. Lauren, did you happen to catch this part? Quote, divorce rates have been dropping during the last few decades. Data indicates that marriages have lasted longer in the 21st century than they did in the 1990s. Lauren, this information is available online for free to anyone not too lazy to take 10 minutes to research the subject. He wrote, I want to scream, America, wake up. Lauren, you don't have to scream. America is waking up. Many inhuman biblical practices are now illegal, including slavery, genocide, witch burning, and animal and human sacrifice. Many other practices, prevented by Scripture, are now allowed, including providing medical care to those in need instead of waiting for your God to let them die, homosexual marriage, freedom of speech in defiance of biblical blasphemy laws, and freedom of religion in defiance of the Ten Commandments. So as you can see, Lauren, America, as well as most of the civilized world, has woken up from its long slumber. Now it's time to clean house. He wrote, "I have unhappily prophesied in writing that we are witnessing the catastrophic collapse of a once great culture, and our children are paying the price." Lauren, now that we have identified that the problem lies with your facts rather than with our culture, the issue should be much easier to fix. I would recommend psychoanalysis. Or, if you can't afford that, just spend some time researching your topic before posting your crap on the internet and humiliating yourself. Lauren continues, "I warned in my annual prophetic word just a few weeks ago of the rising tide of hatred around us that will surface in many arenas of life." Lauren, the rising tide of hatred against priests who abuse little children and rabbis who genitally mutilate helpless little boys shows that we are no longer willing to tolerate the bizarre religious practices of ghost worshippers. If that worries you, then so be it. He said, "This shooting is a manifestation of that hatred, which inevitably results when a nation forgets its rightful lawgiver and turns from his principles that were given to ensure the well-being of all God's creation." Lauren, our Constitution contradicted many of God's laws, including the main one, to worship only Him. Yet statistics prove that the world is becoming more peaceful. Problems like hunger and disease are being solved, and life is better for most of the world's citizens. So maybe your God isn't half as pissed as you seem to think He is. He wrote, "This generation of young people is lost." Lauren, this generation of young people is the least religious in recorded American history. Those you call lost, I would call brave. They have faced Pascal's demon and defeated him. Amazing what a little science can do. He wrote, "Our self-centeredness as a culture has led to the breakup of our families and the abandonment of our children." Lauren, you can't draw valid conclusions when you've got your facts backwards. Do some research and then get back to us. Lauren continues, "We failed to pass them stability. We've not imparted a faith in God and His absolute laws and principles, substituting instead a mushy postmodernism that eliminates the concept of a higher power who created us and who rules over us with love, wisdom, and holy intent. When God's morality is abandoned, love is lost and lives are destroyed." Lauren, that might be true for slave owners, but for the millions of humans who were held in slavery, lives improved quite a bit when God's principles were abandoned. And Lauren, if you ever do get around to doing any of that research I mentioned earlier, you might learn that in 1850, on the floor of the U.S. Senate, the future president of the Confederacy, Jefferson Davis, justified the institution of slavery by referring to the Bible. He wrote, "Unless you listen, really listen, to the young, you cannot know how much destruction has been visited upon them or the depth to which it goes." Lauren, you don't listen to the young. You dictate to the young. If you actually tried listening to them, you would hear that most of them are losing interest in growing into adults who have imaginary friends. Adults like you, Lauren. He said, "We, as an older generation, must bear the responsibility for this. Guns are not the cause. We are the cause. And our sin is the root." Lauren, you conveniently overlook the fact that in civilized nations where they have stricter gun laws, these horrors are far less common. Unless you are claiming that these heathen nations are more moral, which I'm sure you are not, then the restriction of access to guns is the most reasonable explanation for their more peaceful societies. He wrote, "Our broken covenants have left us naked and vulnerable to the ravages of the one who hates us." Lauren, blaming imaginary friends for real-world problems is one of the reasons why we've lingered so long in this cesspool of violence. Since ghost worshippers are the only ones who can hold public office in America, it is also a good explanation as to why we are the only nation on Earth in a nearly constant state of war. Christians and blood go together like aspiring actresses and knee pads. He said, new laws will accomplish nothing in the long run. Lauren, like I said earlier, stay away from prophecy. You're not that good at it. He wrote, the violence and destruction will simply leave the campus to find another location where young people gather. Put security guards at the doors of our schools and workplaces, and the violence will simply move to the street and even the homes. Lauren, you must live in a cave without a TV. Violence already occurs in those places. He wrote, nothing short of a strong move of national repentance can turn this around. But in convincing us that we're all victims and not sinners, that law and morality are relative to the feelings of the individual, our enemy has effectively eliminated repentance from the conceptual realm for those who have not been reached by Jesus, and even from the hearts of many who call themselves Christian. Lauren, your solution is pure fantasy. Contrary to your misconceptions about reality, crime is drastically down. One reason is because many of us have turned away from asking invisible ghosts for help and concentrated instead on solving our own problems. He wrote, can we who really understand plumb now the depths of the cross and the blood and the selflessness of our Lord imparted into us? Can we recover the joy and beauty of repentance as an essential and ongoing element of the Christian life? Can we finally conform to the image of the sun and begin to shine as lights in a dark place, as we have been called and destined to do? Lauren, let's hope not. When people followed your advice, which pretty much describes the Middle Ages, the world was a far more violent, nasty place to live. To get an idea of what Christian society was like, all you have to do is study what life is like in Islamic countries today. Trying to convince Americans to return to a Saudi Arabian existence is going to be a hard sell, Lauren. The sad part is that many, like you, are trying to lead Americans back down that road, a road that we have already learned leads nowhere. And Lauren concludes by saying, Lord, forgive us. We have fallen so far. Lauren, tell your imaginary friend to go take a dump and relieve some cranial pressure. Well, since he's imaginary, that advice would probably be better suited to you. Lauren, millions of modern humans no longer fear your invisible ghost nor his threats. And the time is rapidly approaching when we will no longer fear you. And now we move to the science segment. Today, scientists solve major piece in the origin of biological complexity. Scientists have puzzled for centuries over how and why multicellular organisms evolved the almost universal trait of using single cells, such as eggs and sperm, to reproduce. Now researchers have set a big piece of that puzzle into place by applying experimental evolution to transform a single-celled algae into a multicellular one that reproduces by dispersing single cells. Until now, biologists have assumed that the single-cell bottleneck evolved well after multicellularity as a mechanism to reduce conflicts of interest among the cells making up the organism. Instead, they found that it arose at the same time as multicellularity. This has big implications for how multicellular complexity might arise in nature, because it shows that this key trait, which opens the door to evolving greater multicellular complexity, can evolve rapidly. Researchers produced the multicelled strain by repeatedly selecting and culturing algae that settled quickly to the bottom of a liquid-filled test tube. After 73 rounds, they discovered that the algae in one of the test tubes had gone multicellular. Observing the new form, scientists discovered that it reproduced by actively breaking up, shredding motile single cells that go on to grow into new multicellular clusters. They developed a mathematical model that explained the reproductive benefit of this single-cell strategy over hypothetical alternatives in which the cluster would produce larger propagules. The model predicted that reproduction from single cells would be more successful in the long run. Even though single cells are less likely to survive than larger propagules, this disadvantage is more than made up for by their sheer number. Researchers are now working to find the genetic basis for multicellularity and experimentally evolve even greater multicellular complexity. In this experiment, scientists reordered one of the first steps in the origin of multicellularity, showing that two key evolutionary steps can occur far faster than previously anticipated. Looking forward, they hope to directly investigate the origins of developmental complexity, or how juveniles become adults, using the multicellular organisms that evolved in the lab. Several years ago, researchers made international news when they evolved multicellularity in yeast. This work takes those findings further by initiating multicellularity in an organism that has never had a multicellular ancestor and provides a new hypothesis for the evolutionary origins of the single-cell bottleneck in multicellular life cycles. And now for the final segment of the show, Famous Quotes. Today, Isaac Asimov. I will give no biography as he has been previously quoted. Here's the quote from Isaac Asimov. Imagine the people who believe such things and who are not ashamed to ignore totally all the patient findings of thinking minds through all the centuries since the Bible was written. And it is these ignorant people, the most uneducated, the most unimaginative, the most unthinking among us, who would make themselves the guides and leaders of us all, who would force their feeble and childish beliefs on us, who would invade our schools and libraries and homes.
Are you ready, Bruce? Don't walk.